Welcome back to our 97th episode of the Launcher Farm Show. Right of you, Greg McDaniel, who's the host of the Real Estate Uncensored podcast. In this episode, Greg and I talk about why you should focus on going back to doing things that are zero-cost strategies and to learn the basics by bringing value to each person. Greg also shares how he learned to love to hear the word no and how it helped him to be able to spend more time working with people who needed his service. And we talk about what he does to engage with random strangers that's helped him to learn to create conversations with just about anyone. Greg also shares a super easy way you can give to your farm without having to worry about taking while still building an amazing business. And we talk about how candy can build better relationships with clients. And it's not what you think. Plus, we talk about a ton of other ideas that you can use to grow your geographic farm. So be sure to check out this episode, like and subscribe, and enjoy the episode with Greg. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Launcher Farm Show. I'm your host, Ryan Smith, and today we've got a great guest. It's Greg McDaniel. Greg is the host of Real Estate Uncensored. If you've never seen the show, there's a lot of awesome topics, a lot of great content, and a lot of explicit content, which is fun and awesome. Greg's got a great world of experience with real estate, so we're going to dive in today. So Greg, take a second, tell us a bit about yourself and why you're here.
Ryan, I am so blessed to be on your show. Thank you beyond words. You know what? My show, Real Estate Uncensored, we started it almost seven years ago, depending on when, you know, everyone kind of puts dates onto calendars here. But we did it just because we wanted to help folks. And I've been a real estate agent for 23 years licensed, almost going on 24. My dad's been doing it for 67 years.
Oh, wow.
Somewhere in that ballpark. And so I've learned a lot from him and top producers around the world. And I've been blessed to sit at the feet of absolute geniuses. And I just wanted to bring that knowledge out to folks at a zero cost basis, because I think a lot of agents just need to learn about this without having to pay through the nose. So that's why I'm so grateful to be on your show.
Awesome. Yeah. And I've been following you for a long time. And again, you do practice what you preach, which is huge, because a lot of agents go out there and talk a big game, but you are out there in the trenches doing it on a daily basis, and you're taking the best of what you've learned from people, implementing it into your own business. You've tried everything. And that's kind of what I want to dive into today, of some of the things you've tried and done, but you've lived through it, you've been through it, and you practice it, which is huge part of why you're successful and what you do. So let's talk about that beginning. So you've been 20 plus years in the business. You obviously mentioned your dad's been in the business for a long time. How did it look like for you to jump into it, coming from having a family doing it? How did you start on your own? Did you kind of work under his wing? What did the beginning years look like?
So beginning years were rough. Let's put it that way. working with your family is a unique dynamic, right? So you're there like, love them or hate them, or hate them, love them. Yeah. And we went through all those, you know, different cycles of life. And so when I first got into the business, and I'll be very candid with all of your listeners, is the fact that, I mean, I failed out of college. I graduated high school. Thank you, baby Jesus. I did that. And you know what? I lived life through fire. So when I screwed up in life, that was about a $25,000 mess up that I did every single time. So then I finally decided to screw my head on, and I went back and I started sitting and listening and reading and everything else. And it just really took a different life of its own, because we started the podcast, we started doing more prospecting effectively, cold calls, door knocks, social media, the whole thing, and it really helped grow our visibility. So that is why I'm blessed to be a part of what you're building right now for yourself and your show.
Yeah, and it's, again, like I said, you've been doing this for a long time, and you are doing what you practice and what you preach, and you have built an amazing business. For you, when you decided to go in on cold calling and prospecting, why that avenue? Like, why that versus all the other things you could do in the business?
Great freaking question. I was broke. Okay. I was broke as a joke. Yeah. I had $35 to my name. I literally woke up and I found $200 in traveler's checks. So I tripled my net worth in one night. And I was terrified. And the one thing that I could really do was make phone calls and go out and door knock and really put feet on the pavement and, you know, engage with another human being. So that was really kind of why and how I started this whole endeavor. I did not mean to do this. Is something that was out of necessity. And so everyone is hearing my voice, listening to my, looking at my face, so on and so forth. When life gets really hard, gets tough, it gets ugly, gets nasty, go back and look at what you can really do at a zero or low cost basis, because that is where I started. And a lot of folks don't really understand that, unfortunately. They all think it's all roses and sunshine and rainbows flying out of their behinds, when in reality, it's nothing like that. Everyone posts the beautiful things in life.
Exactly.
Nobody posts the hard things in life. That's a long answer to a short question.
Yeah, so. And that's a great point, because a lot of agents I find get in this business who don't understand the business. They think you have to spend a crap load of money, or they aren't willing to do the work you need to do it. And then they kind of get in this crossroads. They're like, well, I don't have the money and I don't want to go out and do the hard work. And then that's where I find where we have a lot of failure in this business, because agents aren't willing to either spend the money or spend the time to do it. For you, obviously, you didn't have the money, so you had to spend the time doing that.
Yeah.
Can you just share how much you've done? Because we just talked before we started recording about the volume of calls you've done and the volume of door knocking you've done, just to give people an idea of how entrenched you are in this.
Again, very simple question, very long answer.
Yeah.
So here we go. So I've done over 600,000. That's with a comma right in the middle there, guys. With cold calls, I was doing 500 to 750 phone calls a day. My longest phone call day was 1,131 phone calls in one day.
Wow.
I went home and watched paint dry and drank a beer. I was like, okay, I can't deal.
Yeah.
My first couple of years in the business, my father got me out of college. I was working in a warehouse. And he's like, hey, Greg, you should come work for me. I'm like, no. And he's like, no, seriously, come work for me. And so I talked to a lot of my good friends, and they convinced me to go into to real estate with them. I failed my real estate test 7 times, finally got on my 8th time. I didn't take it seriously. I really didn't.
Yeah.
But once I got it, I started doing prospecting, and I was a mess up. I had, I had different colored hair. I had ear piercings. I'm still covered in tattoos, but that didn't go away. But my dad made me take the earrings out. He made me take the hair coloring out. And he's like, look, you're going to be a professional at this. And I'm like, okay. And so I dove deep in it, and he wouldn't let me near a client. So what I did is I door knocked for the first 2 years in my business career. And I would door knock, 5 to 7 hours a day.
Wow.
Every single day, 5 days a week. And then on Saturday and Sundays, I would go back into the office and I would write handwritten notes, and I would do follow-up calls to the people I met, and then do database calls. So I really went deep and hard into this whole thing, because a lot of folks, they take it as kind of more or less a joke sometimes. Yep. Not everybody.
Yep.
And like, oh my gosh, I should call my past clients. I was like, dude, they're your past clients. Go give them a freaking call and say hello. But doing the outbound calls, I found the most exhilarating because I loved hearing the word no. And everyone who asked me that, like, why do you want to hear the word no? I said, because it's an opportunity to get off a phone call with someone who does not want to do business with me, which means I can spend more time working with someone who actually wants to do business with me. Yep. And so when I changed my mindset on that, all of a sudden my business, flourished, because I was having fun. I was enjoying life.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan, like, let's say I called you right? And you're like, go take a long walk off a short pier.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, copy that. But if I called you back 2 months later and said, hey, Ryan, Greg, again, how are you? What's going on? Like, how can I assist you? How can I bring value to your life? And you're like, well, Greg, blah, 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 yakety schmack. And you give me a diagnosis of kind of what you want. It's just about being persistent and consistent in everything that you do in life. That could be your personal life. That could be your prospecting. That can be your real estate. That could be lead gen follow-up. That could be anything. And my light just died on me. That's fucking awesome. Way to go, light. Okay. Back to you, my friend.
You still look good. Yeah, my old business partner used to call it pleasantly persistent, and that's really the key. You got to stay focused and stay on it, because you don't know if people are going to have a bad day when you call them, and they may be jerks, and they may only be a jerk that day. You don't know what happened. And I have a example when I was calling someone, and the guy was talking to me. I called, followed up next time, and his wife answered, and she ripped a strip off my back. She told me to go to hell, whatever. And then I was like, well, I was chatting with him. So I called him back another month later. And then anyways, I got hold of her again and she apologized. She said, I just found out my husband just got diagnosed with cancer and we were trying to deal with it. And then she's like, I'm so glad you called back because, you know, we're in a bit of a situation here or whatever. And she said, I feel so bad. She's like, I got off the phone and I felt terrible because I screamed at you, and she remembered it and I remembered it. And, but again, if we take it for that slice of just that one phone call of that, when they're cussing you out, or whatever, you may take it personally, and 9 times out of 10, it's nothing to do with you.
Has nothing to do with you at all. Imagine if, and I don't know if you have kids or not, but I mean, I don't either. So I make this up as I go, but I mean, imagine your daughter coming back with purple hair, married to a drummer when she's 15 years old.
Yeah.
Might be pretty ticked off at that moment, right? And then I'm trying to sell you on selling your house. It's not going to go over well. But I mean, as long as you understand, you're empathetic with the other individual that you're having a conversation with, and be like, dude, sounds like you're just having a bad day, man. I mean, like, how can I bring value to you? And once you start in that mindset versus getting the sale, but making a relationship and say, you know what, Ryan, I hear some pain in your voice. Is there anything I can do to bring value to you? And then you shut up.
Yeah.
And you let them talk a little bit. And then they will tell you whatever they're comfortable telling you. But it's insane. Well, actually, you know what, Ryan? An experience besides the ones you just shared, has there been one instance in regards to prospecting when you're like, gosh, I was nice to this person and they were nice to me back, but they were kind of a jerk in the beginning, but yet I was empathetic to them. What's something along those lines that kind of sparks a memory for you?
Yeah, I've had a number of people who were very hesitant, especially when you're cold prospecting. Like in our farm, we door knocked a lot and we did cold calling on our farm, and you get people that are hesitant up front. We had a lady that we had some mental health problems, and we ended up helping her, and she was going through, she had like 20 plus cats. The house was like just 21 or 22 cats.
That's a 2-0.
Yeah. So up front, she was very guarded up front until we showed that we were coming from contribution. We were there to help her, and it completely changed the perspective. And at the end of it, she couldn't say enough good things about us. So you have to look past their attitude or their stuff. Now, there's some people who are just jerks and you don't want to work them. Like you said, you get to the no and you're on to the next one and keep going. But if you can spot that there's an opportunity for you to help, I think that's a great opportunity to create value. And the one thing I always say too, is a lot of people love getting on a phone call with someone who's super chatty, and they get off the call and they're like, oh, I just spent 10 minutes chatting with this person. And then I always say that person will chat with the next person for 10 minutes and the next person for 10 minutes. So they're not as loyal sometimes because they just want to chat with people. Sometimes those tough nuts are the best ones, because if you can get through to them and you're the only one who really created some value and had that conversation, you actually have a much higher chance of getting a deal from that person than someone who just wanted to have the phone call with you.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I love playing with people, not in a bad way, always completely professional and just kind and everything else. But I love to pick at their brains, going like, well, that's interesting. And my dad always says something very, like, uniquely different to everybody else. There is, I'm interested, or that's interesting. And when he says, oh, that's interesting, that means you're completely screwed. He's going to he's gonna paint you into a corner, and he's got you already pegged. But he goes like, that's interesting. Walk me through this. Help me understand. When you ask questions like that, a lot of people, I mean, when's the last time you were asked, like, help me understand blank, or walk me through blank in regards to not my life, but your life? I mean, when's the last time you were ever asked that?
Probably by counselor.
That's a good one. I thank God they asked that question.
You don't get it often. I find that people aren't really digging. It's more surface level conversations, and people aren't wanting to know more.
Well, it's a whole lot of horseshit. I mean, everybody can, you know, everyone got a butthole, and they all stink. Yeah. And so if you're just out there and you say, you know what, Ryan, you know, help me understand why you want to sell, or what would that mean for you, or what would that do for you, or what, how would that help you change your life from where you are now to where you want to be? And you say it in a certain tonality. I was with my my father one day. We were went to a listing appointment, and I had worked my rear end off for this listing appointment. And my dad looks at this guy, and he goes, I don't think you should sell. I literally wanted to come out of my skin and murder him. And so I sat there quietly going like, what the heck? And the guy just started talking and talking and talking and talking, and ultimately talked himself into listing the property with us. But I learned a lesson that day. I learned to listen, not talk, and just hear what other people are going through. Everybody is going through a battle that you do not know about. And once you understand that, oh my gosh, the world's your oyster on every freaking level. I mean, what's your best story on that one? Because, I mean, there's so many of them out there.
Yeah, I find it's a lot of times it's like working with senior citizens who are lonely, and then you hear what's going on with them, and there's something else going on. I find, because they don't have someone to talk to until you can open up and find out. For me, I've had some, sometimes it's tricky because you do come in with a different angle, or you think you come with a preconceived notion what you think they're gonna, or why they're doing what they're doing. And then, it's, I haven't had like one smack me in the face, but I had this one lady that was, she needed to sell, but she didn't want to, but then she needed to, and then she didn't want to. And then it was just coming from just being there and listening to her. And it took a year and a bit to get to that point where she just finally got to that point. She was holding on to her husband had passed away, and she was holding on to that emotion side of it, and she had to work through it. And it was just being there and listening to her, and took her out for lunch. I dropped her off some flowers and just stayed in contact with her until she hit that point where she was like, okay. And you could see there was like a difference in her emotions and in her total state, where she's like, okay, she kind of let go of things. Yeah. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but she just was like, all right, I'm ready to go. And just being there was there, and having that conversations over that time period, built the relationship and built trust to the point where she's like, okay, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. That's an awesome story. I had one gal, I swear to God, this chick should have been a comedian. I honestly fucking say that. Sorry. but I mean, she would say the craziest things to me. Like, I'm like, well, how are you feeling today? She's like, well, you know, I had three kids and I got in the bath, and everything flowed in and then flowed right back out like a funnel. And I'm sitting there going like, how do I respond to this comment? But you know what? She's like, you know, come over and have a beer with me. And I said, okay. And I'd love to have a beer with you. What do you like? And she told me the beer, and I went and bought her a beer, and we sat there in the back porch and we had a conversation. We helped her sell her house. And it was because of listening and being present, like you were saying. Being present is one of the most important things on God's green earth. A lot of folks just are not present because, where is it? Oh, well, as I look for it, my cell phone.
Yeah.
Right. We're so attached to these devices that we forget about the humanity around us. And by the way, Ryan, where are you in the U.S.?
I'm in Canada. So I'm.
Oh, you're in Canada.
I'm about an hour and a bit outside Toronto.
You're a very passive aggressive neighbor.
Exactly.
Okay. So here in San Francisco, like, I say hi to everybody. I do this as a kind of a test. And sadly to say, about 90% of people don't say hi back because they're looking right at the cell phone, or they have the earbuds in or something along those lines. And I'll say, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
And then they'll say hello and we get a conversation going. Have you experienced that, or is that just me?
I'm someone who, because I grew up in a small town, and in my small town, everyone says hello to everyone. You wave, you nod, you
like, kind of hello.
Yeah, you just get whatever. And then I moved to the city, and then it was a completely different experience. And I was like, this is so lonely. I would say, like, I went from a town of 30,000 people to 3-something million city, and it was like the loneliest I've ever been when I was living in that city, because people tend to just shut down and disconnect. And this is why I'm so big on with farming, is creating that community. And this is why I think agents who do farming well, when you learn to create that community, you can build those relationships, so that when you're out, when you're door knocking, if you're cold calling, if you're at open houses, you're involved in the community, it's so much easier to make that relationship and not just hide behind your cell phone, not hide behind your computer, and create that. And it was part of my experience living in that city, going, man, this is lonely, this is sad. And not having that experience, I really wanted to help other agents realize that there are opportunities to create community, but it takes getting out of your comfort zone. It takes intentionality. Like you said, you have to be intentional with that conversation. That's where I wanted to ask you is that a lot of people, when they think of door knocking or cold calling, they see it as bullcrap sales. They see it as that I'm bothering someone, but your approach is completely different. So how do you, what would you say to an agent then who says, well, farming doesn't, or cold calling doesn't work, or door knocking doesn't work these days because no one wants to talk to me? Because I know you've got a different approach to that.
Yeah, good question. I appreciate that opportunity to give my point of view. You know, the number one thing is this: if you don't ask, you don't get. And I was told a long time ago that if you really want to jumpstart your business, go out there and bring 25 business cards with you every single day. On Monday, turn left when you walk out of your office, your house. On Tuesday, turn right. Don't come back. And do all these cards. Anything that walks, breathes, you know, wheelchair, doesn't matter. If they're a functional human being, just give them a card and say, this is my card. I'm probably sure you're going to throw it away. but you know what? I would love the opportunity to help you and serve you or your family or friends. And so when it comes to the mindset, if I'm remembering that accurately, it's just not caring about the no's.
Yeah.
It's going out there and looking for the yeses. And a lot of the folks listening to my voice right now are going, like, what the flying blah, 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 blankety blank, blank is this guy talking about, right? And think about your dog that's behind you right now, my dog that's in front of me right now. They don't understand the word. Well, they understand the word no, but they love the word yes, and they thrive off of it. So why don't you become more or less your dog and thrive off the yeses and not be so concerned with the no's? Because look, everybody has bad days. Let them have a bad freaking day.
Yeah.
Move forward. And with your prospecting, it's that simple. Once you shift your mind and say, you know what, that human, just, that's a rough Monday. Rough Monday. It's okay. It's okay. You know, put in your CRM, and all of a sudden you just call them back in a week or so, And then you have another conversation with them and they're a completely different human. Like you were telling the story before. Yeah. And it's a powerful thing. And for me, I've gotten told so many times, no, that I just, it just, it, that there's people put energy and power behind the word no.
Yeah.
It's two letters. And we give it, like if I told you, hey, Ryan, dog, tree, window, table, you'd be like, yeah, what's your point? No, I told you now. And you're like, oh, it's offensive.
Yeah.
It's because you put energy behind it. My girlfriend, she cracks me up because she's so no bullshit. It's not even fucking, it's not even stinking funny.
Yeah.
Again, I cuss. I'm so sorry, ladies and gentlemen.
It's all good.
And she's like, you're so bougie. I'm like, what does bougie mean? Again, had no power because I didn't understand what it meant. So she said something to me and I'm like, okay. And then once I understood what it meant, I'm like, oh, that's kind of offensive, but I'm not.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
So, Ryan, in your experience, where have you taken that power away from negativity and put it into positivity?
Yeah. But for me, one of the things I do in my own business and that I teach agents is I do a neighborhood home prices report. So when I do cold call and prospect, I use that. And it was because I was someone who was terrified of cold calling. I was terrified of speaking. I didn't like to do anything. And when I realized that if I come from value and have something to offer someone at the door, I know it's like they don't want. It's not, they're not saying no to me. They're saying no to that thing that I'm offering. And it became so much easier for me. Then I ended up, went from never doing cold calling, never doing door knocking to, I think I did nothing like yours, but I think we did like 60,000 calls in 1 year. That's and it was great. Just, it was so much easier to just jump right in and make those because I knew, hey, I'm coming from value. I'm coming from contribution. Mm-hmm. If they don't like it, then they don't like it. If they don't want what I have, then they don't want it. And then it became so much easier for me to show myself when I'm on the call or at the door, because it's like, hey, I've got something cool. I've got something that's valuable. If you want it, hey, it's here. And then I took away the power of the no, because it's like, no, they don't, it's nothing to do with me. They want it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's them. You know what? I think you summed that up so beautifully right there. You're taking away the power from the no. I'm actually going to get a shirt taking away the power from the no.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear that. This is just me being curious. When and how did you learn that?
That was from messing up, from being afraid of doing it in the first place, and then realizing that when I had value, it became easier. So I had a business partner at the time, and we just challenged ourselves to do it, and then it became really just about how do I get as much value as I can, and how do I add as much value as I can. And when I had that shift, that's when I really started understanding farming, because I started realizing it's not about just getting my name out there. It was about how can I add as much value. And when I realized that it was about the value that I added, then it was so much easier. And I literally went from like sweating buckets to trying to dial a phone to getting a triple dialer, sitting on the phone for hours on end. It's like, it magically, I don't know if there's a defining moment, but it was once we realized this was the approach I wanted to take and I knew it worked. I kind of started before I had a farm that had failed miserably. And I was kind of testing things out. It was kind of like my laboratory where I was figuring what I wanted to do with farming. And when I kind of cracked the code after that, it was when I put it all together and realized I'm just going to come from as much value as I can to the community. When I had that, that's when it was like, okay, this is so much easier to get out there and get myself out there.
Dude, that's probably my biggest takeaway from our conversation right now, is the fact that you're coming from value. You're not looking for something, you're bringing something to the conversation. And folks, in my experience, and it sounds like from your experience as well, they don't do that. They inverse that, and it's like me, I, take.
Yeah.
When in reality, be like, just give.
Exactly.
Just go out there and give, man.
Exactly.
The world's a beautiful, wonderful, incredible place. As long as you're willing to give something back into it, it's awesome sauce.
And that's my complaint about with most traditional type real estate farming training is that they tell you to go out there and just tell people how great you are. Go out there and beat your chest and tell the neighbors how awesome you are. Just send enough postcards with your face on it. And I teach agents all the time. I'm like, it's not about postcards and door knocking. That's a strategy you can use in farming, but really it's about coming from contribution. And if anyone watches my show, they watch it. They've heard me talk about it. It's CPR. It's community yeah. positioning and relationships. And when you learn to position yourself as the ambassador and an expert, it becomes so much easier to build those relationships. You find the community that you're working in. You put them ahead of the transaction. You put position yourself as an ambassador for the community. And when you become that champion for the community, it's become so much easier to bring value. And I find, and I'm sure you've experienced it, that a lot of agents struggle with what value can I bring? How do I bring when all you're talking about is real estate, it becomes difficult. But when you think about it as a, hey, I'm going to be here to provide as much value to the community as possible, real estate or not, it becomes so much easier to get involved with things. It becomes easier to provide value to the people that you're serving. It becomes easier to follow up with people. And that's where I find that a lot of agents have that shift when they reshift their marketing around farming. Instead of just being me, it's them and how do I help them? And when you do that, it becomes so much easier to just build those relationships.
Yeah. Finding the value that you can bring to a community is the number one thing. Yep. I mean, I have a ton of tricks I can spill onto you, but I'm sure you've already, you know, done them or use them or already using them. I guess just being selfish, what was that turning point for you when you said, I'm not going to talk about myself anymore. I'm going to talk about my client, my, you know, my community, my fill in the blank, my apartment complex, my, you know, whatever. What was that shift and how did that look? And
yeah, for me, it was seeing other agents doing the way I thought they were doing it wrong and going, I don't want to be that agent, and seeing enough agents do it. And I always joke that I when I got started in the business, I'm still an introvert, but when I got in the business, I started seeing agents going out there who were so ego-based. And then you see, it's like, okay, they got to keep that up. And that's an ongoing thing to keep up the ego. And then I've heard people talk about the people from an ego perspective. And I'm like, well, if I'm serving the community, if I was going to work with someone, what would I want to get from that person? And that was where I really shifted going, okay. And it's a long story short. When I got started, I had an agent when I was young, my family agent. She'd been around for a long time, and she was a person who was always there to help you. She was always bringing information. She was always bringing value. She would show me properties when I needed to see properties. She'd poke and prod. She'd climb up in the attic and she'd push things with a broom and check things out. And I was like, man, she's here for me. Like, she's here to give me as much value as I can. She's not here to just make a sale. And I was like, okay, when I become an agent, when I was thinking about doing, like, that's, I kind of want to model myself after that. Then I realized, okay, from a community perspective, how can I do that? Not just in the transaction, how can I do that into the community as well? How can I be that person who's there to look out for and take after or take care of the people that I'm serving?
Well, it's kind of like your dog behind you. He is very attentive, looking out that window. He's watching,
waiting for the kids to come home.
but the analogy is good because, I mean, he's watching the community, kind of checking out what's going on. He's not sitting on the couch licking whatever part he wants to lick. A lot of us as real estate agents, we just don't. How do I say this without being rude? We get self-absorbed in our own lives, but we care, but we don't really care on an outward basis about the folks that we're working with. Like my girl and I, we're looking to buy another house right now. I've met some really bad agents.
Yeah.
I've also met some really good agents.
Yep.
And there's this guy, we're up in Healdsburg, which is like Napa wine country here in California. And this guy drove 20 minutes to drop me off my dog leash that I forgot in his client's home. And I'm like, this is something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because you showed up, you were present, and you actually brought value to my life.
Yep. Exactly.
And it was a dog leash. So what could you do in your life right now, ladies and gentlemen, that could be the dog leash that could get you more leads?
Exactly.
It's this simple. And you didn't get out of his car. He sat in his car. We talked about, you know, whatever we talked about, politics and the forest and wine and everything else. But he showed up. It cracks me up. None of us, very small amount of us show up in today's day and age because we're so self-absorbed in our own lives.
I totally agree. Yeah. And this is where I think agents need to have that shift from just being the transaction based to focusing on that relationship and focusing on the, how do I build them? And this business is about relationships. And I always say with the relationships, it's either building new relationships or strengthening the ones you have. And everything should be around those two things going, okay, if I don't have enough relationships in my life, how do I build new relationships and how do I strengthen the ones I've got? And that's what your business should be focused on. The transaction is that byproduct. And you and I both know that real estate is a secondary to what we do. It's the relationships we have. That's what's going to get us into that next zone of our business or that next level is by building better relationships and stronger relationships or more relationships. If we're willing to do that, then we'll grow even farther.
Yeah. Relationships are number one. And it's like we talked about, very simple things. We drop off candy to all of our past clients in our sphere every single Christmas and holiday season, which we're in right now as of this recording.
Yep.
And we had a couple of clients call us up one year and they're like, "Hi, Greg, this is so-and-so." I'm like, "Hey, what's going on?" They're like, "I have a question for you." I'm like, "Oh, this is not going to go well." Okay. And they're like, "So did we not make the list this year?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" They're like, "Well, we haven't got our box of See's candy." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh, no. We're just running behind this year. We're going to be out there in the next week or so. You're going to definitely get it." They're like, "Oh my gosh, thank goodness, because we thought we did something mean or wrong to you."
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the level of relationships you want to be in.
Exactly.
I mean, Ryan, would you agree with me on that one? When people call you looking for what they're used to.
And that means more than a postcard. A missed candy billion. Means more than a missed postcard. They're not going to miss the postcard you don't send or the park bench you're not on. It's that relationship that will matter. And building the purposeful relationship and not just a transactional relationship. And it's those things that do stand out. And for some people, that means the world. And that might be the only contact they have in a month. They may, like, you have some people that are shut-ins and it's like, you're the only person and they look forward to that conversation or that connection.
So freaking true. I had a conversation with a gal. I came over and I gave her her box of candy. And she's like, she was an older gal. And she was like, "You know, your dad, Terry, has been giving me candy for the last 30 years. And I just look forward to it every year." And I'm like, holy mackerel. Like, you really remember that?
Yeah.
It's a box. Okay, fine. You know what? Here's two.
Exactly.
You know, if that's going to put a smile on your face, let's rock and roll on this thing. You know, Ryan, what's been something, and again, this is me just being a curious kitten. What's been something that's been a major bonus for your business in regards to keeping that conversation going, because I'm always trying to learn. I love to hear what people have to say.
For me, it sounds silly, but it's using people's names. And like for us, like we did our door knocking and with our reports and we would drop them off and we did a hard copy report and we dropped it off each month. And we were very intentional with how we dropped them off and we made sure we got them as many people as possible. And we have our list of the people. And we would have them written down. And when we drop off the report, we'd have their name and we just go to the door and we'd say, "Hey, Karen, hey," and we just say their name every time. And we had so many people come to us and be like, "Oh my gosh, thank you so much. You remembered my name." And I remember one time I was with my business partner and we dropped it off. And so he was dropping off to this door and I was dropping off to this door. And he went back, got back in the car, and I came back to the car, and she came up and she's like, you know, I gotta say, I'm so impressed. She's like, you guys remember my name every time. We don't remember their name half the time, but it was that written down. It's on the sheet. Exactly. Something as simple as that means the world to them, that we've like, we took the time out of our day to drop that off and remember them and remember their name. And that was super eye-opening for me to go, hey, again, a lot of these people are thinking that agents are just out for a commission or out here to try to, to sell, make a bunch of money. And when you personalize it to them and you create value for them, it changes their perception of you and it changes the perception of the industry as well. And that's where we started getting like people, I've never had anything like this before. No one's ever been like this before. And it would just became a lot easier to stay in contact and add value. And then it just becomes a just checking in. Just want to see how, like you said, how can I add value to you? What can I do for you? Is there anything I can help you out with? And it becomes a different conversation than, hey, you think about buying or selling a home? Hey, you think about buying or selling a home? Hey, I know you're not selling. Are you selling your home? Are you selling your home? So it just changes the conversation. And that's a big part of what's shifted in my business.
You know, when it comes to the name thing, obviously you have a dog. I have a dog.
Yeah.
And at dog parks, everyone knows the name of the dog. They don't know the name of the person.
Yeah.
So I always try to tell all my friends up there, I'm like, guys, who's the owner of blah, blah, blah dog, right?
Yeah.
And I feel horrible about it. But once I learn it and I go back and I talk to them, I say, hey, Steve, Ryan, James, Felicia, well, you know, whoever it is, I say, good morning. How are you? Like, what's going on? What's new? What's different? You should see them light up. So I think that was a huge takeaway. Just be present. It's really not that hard, but yet it is difficult at the exact same time because I can't cuss. These blank blanks, aka cell phones, they steal your attention on every level. And we're not literally listening to another human being. Yeah. But Ryan, I want to sell your house.
Yeah.
Come on, let me come over and list it. You're going like, who the blank are you?
Yeah.
You no relation with me, but
exactly.
I love this conversation. I can go for hours on this one.
So that's what I'm going to wrap up with your best piece of advice. We always wrap up with best piece of advice. So if you were to give agents best piece of advice on getting out there, doing either prospecting or anything we talked about, what would you give agents if they're listening right now?
Advice or book? Which one do you want?
We'll do advice first, and then we'll go with your book next.
Okay. They kind of tie together. Kind of tie them together.
We'll tie it in.
Perfect. Yeah, I love you. Okay. So my best advice is I want you to try to get fired. And everyone who hears that going like, what the flogging noogle are you talking about?
Yeah.
I literally want you to try to get fired and just hear me out. Trying to get fired is you trying to find the best client for yourself versus you hunting down everything that walks, because not all money is good money, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? I want you to be selective and picky. If you're single, if you're married, if you're engaged, whatever that status is, remember back when you were single and you were selective on your partner and you were picky. You were really freaking picky because, you know, this is the individual you're going to spend a lot of time with. Same thing that they're going to do with real estate agents, and the same thing you need to do with clients. Because once you get involved with these folks, they're part of your family. You're going to hear some of the nastiest. I have to really watch my tongue. You're going to hear some really nasty stuff that they're going to tell you, and just go out there. And this dovetails into my book. It's not my book. The book I love. It's called Go for No. Have you read that one?
Yeah, it's good.
I actually had the opportunity to interview the author on my podcast. And you know what? I said, well, who is the author? I mean, who is the subject for your book? And she goes, my husband. And I giggled too. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be great. the premise of the show is that, or that book, excuse me, it was literally going out and saying, hey, Ryan, Greg McDaniel with blah, 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 Yakety Schmack Real Estate Agency. Hey, I bet you're not thinking about selling your home today. And it just changes people's mindset because they're used to having everyone just bark at them and say, hey, look, you want to sell? Do you want to sell? Do you want to sell? And you say, look, Ryan, you're a good looking man. I'm pretty sure you're not thinking about selling, are you? Yeah. And people are like, what do you mean? Yes, I want to sell. And so that's the book. Read it and go all the way to the end. Mm. The last paragraph of that book is where everything ties together. And I'm not going to do a spoiler alert on that or anything like that, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It all ties together. Yeah. But yeah, that's my takeaways. Now I'll shut up.
Awesome. No, that's a great book. Highly recommend it. And it helps you reframe the whole conversation and helps you reframe and that take away that power from that no and helps you really reshape your thoughts on sales and interactions. So that's awesome. So how can our viewers check out what you're up to and check out what you're doing?
Ryan, I appreciate you. Best way, go to my Facebook, Greg McDaniel. You'll look at this ugly mug. If you're not listening, if we're not watching, you can just look at it. I have a giant microphone stuck in my face. It's back in my radio days. And just go there and follow me. I do a lot of live prospecting calls. I do the podcasts and so on and so forth. Ryan has been a guest on my show, and we can't wait to have him back again. So if you guys like anything I said, go check it out. If not, I wish you a blessed day. But yeah, that's the best place to get a hold of me. Instagram, Greg McDaniel, REU for Real Estate Uncensored, or just Greg McDaniel on Facebook. Thank you, Ryan.
We'll put it in the show notes so our viewers can check that out. And yeah, you always are pumping out good content. It's always awesome and entertaining to watch and hear what you're doing too, and to hear the genuine side of you and not just the scripted robot. Like, you're being real and you're being genuine and you're having those real conversations, which is awesome. So thank you, Greg, for being on the show. I appreciate you sharing your insight and your wisdom with my audience. And I know if they take even a fraction of what you say and put it into practice, they will have success. So thank you for sharing with our audience. I know they'll get a lot out of it.
My distinct honor and privilege to be a part of you and your show and the incredible audience you have. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Ryan. Awesome. And it's just a joy to be here with you.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out today's episode. If you'd like more videos like this, be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Facebook page and our other social media channels. Looking forward to bringing you more great content like this, and happy farming.